We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Ayo, welcome into the CHGO White Sox postgame show, presented by PointsBet. Use promo code CHGO when you sign up to get two risk-free bets up to $2,000. Welcome into Studio A of our CHGO offices here in the West Loop of Chicago. I'm Sean Anderson, the host of the CHGO White Sox postgame show. Follow me on Twitter at Sean_W_Anderson. And since it's a road game, we have the whole crew in studio, the CHGO White Sox beat. Vinny Duber is on the far left. You can follow him on Twitter at Vinny Duber. He's our CHGO White Sox beat writer. And the man in the middle is Herb Lawrence.
Hello.
You can follow him on Twitter at EchnerWall23. He's the CHGO White Sox community leader. We are joining you after a White Sox win. 9-6 out in Seattle. They take the series. It is their third straight series win. And I hate to tell you this, but this is the first time since the opening three series that they have won three consecutive series in a row. They are now 69-68 on the year, and I will ask you this, is this the White Sox biggest win of 2022?
Yes, it is the biggest win. Multiple reasons why that is. You were down early to a pitcher that was dominating, a top of the level pitcher, 4-0 to that team, and not only did you claw back and tie that game, you went over and crushed that guy for six runs. Only I think three of those runs were earned because the Eugenio Suarez error. And then when they ultimately tied you back up, you found a way to scratch over a couple other runs by putting pressure on the other team and letting them make mistakes. So yes, this is the biggest win for the White Sox. And some of the moves I thought were poor, but they happened to work out for the White Sox today. So, yes, to this point, the 69th win is the White Sox best win.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'll agree. I'll give kind of a boring, neutral answer there at the same time. It is the biggest win of the year until the next one. Right. I mean, that's what life in a playoff race is, right? Yeah. I mean, you guys were talking before the game about how important this game was. You guys were calling it a must win for the reason of they need to keep pace with the teams in front of them. And certainly in that aspect, it's true. It's not a must win in my mind until things start really, you know, it's not a must win until the math says it's a must win. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you're in a playoff race. And so every win is really important. This is September. There's three teams going for this AL Central title. It's very important for the White Sox to keep winning. And so, this is the biggest win of the season for the White Sox today. And if they win tomorrow, that'll be the biggest win because you got to keep doing this all the way to the end of the year.
That's fair. Very much like Tom Brady, what's your favorite ring? The next one. What's your favorite win? The next one. Very, very much a competitive edge there from Vinny Duber with that answer. Sox are now 2.5 games back in the AL Central. The Twins lost game one of their doubleheader versus the Yankees in a very, very long game. So watch out for 6:55 when game two starts off. The Sox and Twins could be tied if the Twins lose that game. The Guardians will take on the Royals later tonight. It's Zach Greinke on the bump for the Royals. And then for the Guardians, it's Cody Morris, who has not made many starts. So they're kind of having a bullpen game. So the Sox could be two games back after this. And it's now the Twins versus the Guardians this weekend. The Sox have four games against Oakland this weekend. So a very big series for the Sox. We did see and talk a little bit in the pregame show about the Sox in Oakland. 2-12 since July 4th of 2017. This is obviously a different A's team. That A's team made it to the playoffs in 2020, ended up knocking the White Sox. Liam Hendricks famously striking out the Sox and knocking them out of playoff contention in 2020. How are you feeling about that A's game? And we said it was a must-win today, Herb. Now, does that take a little bit of pressure off the Sox? Can they just split this series in Oakland? Do they need to take three of four? How are you viewing it?
They're a far superior team than Oakland A's, and you got your ace going to the bump tomorrow. And you read off the names of those Oakland A's pitchers that are going to the bump for them. None of them scare me. None of those guys should be able to do anything versus this team. And the White Sox have to have confidence after seeing what Luis Castillo was doing to them today with his slider, his fastball, and, of course, his changeup, and then getting to him and punishing him for a bunch of runs. There should be no pitcher that intimidates them, and especially when they see this, it's like, okay, it's time to get our stats right now. You know, not just win this game. Stump a mud hole into the Oakland A's. You got Dylan Cease, so he's giving you ultimate confidence that you're going to go out there and grab a dub because he's going to shove, and it's a big pitcher's ballpark out there at Oakland. So 3 out of 4 is the minimum you should get out there versus the A's. You got 2 out of 3 when they're here in Chicago. It was a tough, gritty, scrappy series, but they did win the 2 out of 3 games. 3 out of 4 should be the minimum.
And you have three of your four best pitchers as well. You have Cease, Giolito, and Lynn. Cueto, Lynn, and Cease. Giolito's the other pitcher in that series as well.
And remember where Lucas almost threw that perfect game in the playoffs a couple years back. That was the going back to the scene of the crime there. But, you know, hey, I did just give the baseball man answer of talking about the next one. But let's look back on this series, because look what the White Sox just did in Seattle compared to what the Cleveland Guardians just had to do against the Seattle Mariners. I think it wasn't very long ago where we were talking about the White Sox being 6 games out of first place. That has been narrowed considerably, mostly because the Guardians couldn't do what the White Sox did against this same Mariners team. Seattle, I think, has been like the best team in baseball since June or sometime in June, something like that, for the White Sox to go out and not only be competitive but take 2 of 3 is a big deal, I think.
I think it was post All-Star break the Mariners had the best record and the third best ERA in the American League as well. So the White Sox only having one game where they get shut out. And then you look at Monday, they have 2 home runs, gives them a 3-2 win. The bullpen that they paid for, you saw Graveman, you saw Hendricks really close it down. Lance Lynn, their starter, really give them the win on Monday. Not able to get home runs on Tuesday. And Wednesday, it really felt like the White Sox weren't going to get any hits. And then Eloy Jimenez came up. Let's take you through today's game and we'll recap the series a little bit. Let's start off with Luis Castillo because, man, it really didn't feel like I had you a little worried there that my prediction about Luis Castillo's no-hitter was going to happen, because he struck out the first 7 White Sox that he faced, tying an American League record. It's a historic day, Vinny. For Luis Castillo. How are
the
you?
The Obama's presidential portraits were revealed, and also Luis Castillo with some strikeouts there in the Mariners game.
At what point did you feel comfortable, Herb, or at what point did you feel like maybe this isn't going to be the White Sox day, because Luis Castillo looked real dominant early?
He did, and I was like, okay, he has already filthy stuff. And the White Sox, for a team, they don't think they strike out a whole bunch, but they were not seeing him early, and it wasn't the shadows. It was a clear day. They could see him exactly how they needed to, and they were like, okay, this is just some filthy stuff. His fastball is right up in 98. His slider was moving, and his changeup was doing the thing, because it's filthy. Comes out the same slot, and it looks like a fastball up until you swing way over the top of it. So I was scared. After that first round through the got the first, 9 or 10 out? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was like, okay, this is going to be a tough day. But I know the White Sox eventually will get a single. If anything the White Sox can do, they can single you to death. And they lead the league in batting average for a reason. I was getting worried initially. I don't think when Eugenio Suarez and the Mariners scored a bunch of runs, I was like, okay, that's going to put a lot of pressure on the White Sox offense. And now this pitcher, who's dominated the whole game, game over. I pretty much said game over right when I heard the back crack and I saw how far that ball went with Eugenio Suarez.
Yeah, so after Castillo sets down 9 straight, he ended up walking Andrus at the top of the fourth to end the perfect game bid. But in the bottom of the third, Michael Kopech looked really good. He was hitting his velocities early on. He was getting up to 95. First inning really felt like he had control of everything. He looked really healthy. And then in the bottom of the third, he walked Kirk Gasali to lead off the inning, then got J.P. Crawford to strike out swinging. And then Julio Rodriguez came up, the guy that hasn't been a huge problem in the White Sox side this series, but he was a big problem in the bottom of the third. I want to go to the graphic for this at-bat because Michael threw 3 pitches in this at-bat, all sliders, didn't find the grip on the first one, threw it in the dirt, then got the called strike, and we saw on the broadcast kind of he threw it, and you can see him like mimicking how you finish a slider, basically being like, oh, I found that pitch. And he basically did, because you see the next pitch, he throws the slider again, hits the same spot. The issue, Julio Rodriguez, as you mentioned, Herb, very damn good at baseball, saw that shit coming, and hit it 110 feet, double driving in Casale, making it 1-0. Then Ty France reached on an infield single. Then Mitch Haniger hit a sacrifice fly to score Julio Rodriguez, and then that made it 2-0, and then Eugenio Suarez drove in France on that home run. So the Mariners led 4-0, and yeah, it felt like it was completely over after Castillo just set down the White Sox as he did 9 straight. Absolutely ridiculous. But then Andrus walks, Jose Abreu comes up, he grounds into a fielder's choice. It feels like it's going to be a double play. White Sox are going to go 1-2-3 again. But Jose Abreu, just like he did this past weekend to win the White Sox the game against Minnesota, beats out that play, gets on first base, keeps the inning alive for Eloy Jimenez, and he hits an absolute moonshot off Luis Castillo, and that kind of broke it open for the Sox. A huge homer for Eloy off the slider, and you love just how far it went.
And the thing is, like, they called Jose Abreu out initially on the field. The umpire called him out. And, of course, we were here, and we saw it live. I think both me, you, and Vinny said, he's safe. It looks safe to on the live play. And then, of course, he was safe by, bang, bang play. And that's the hustle that you need there. And Jose Abreu beating that play out is a huge victory for the White Sox because you see the next pitch. He hangs a slider, and Eloy does not miss it. I don't know if you guys ever seen the movie Rocky IV. When initially Drago's just kicking the shit out of Rocky, and he's beating him up. And then eventually Rocky hits him, and he starts bleeding. And this corner man's like, he's not a machine. He's a man. He's a man. And that's what I felt. That same thing. Like, yes, you're still down 4-2. But when Eloy hit that home run, I was like, he murdered that pitch. And I'm sure the White Sox are like, man, he killed that dude. He's not immortal. He's not out there just to get a no-hitter against us. He's a man. Let's crush that dude.
And then the White Sox defeated communism. The end of this game, right?
And Gorbachev died this week. Oh. Rest in peace. All right. No, I shouldn't rest in peace. Him. Fuck Gorbachev.
He was a good guy. No? I mean, he won Nobel Peace Prizes.
Yeah, get out of here.
All right.
Wow. Herb with some strong takes on Soviet premieres.
Nobel Peace Prizes. Get the fuck out of here if you're the Nobel. Herb doesn't want your damn prize. Kopech ends up getting pulled after 74 pitches, got into a little bit of trouble in the bottom of the fourth, had some runners on, and we heard Miguel Cairo say his pitch limit would be about 75 to 80. He got pulled at 74 with runners on.
Well, and the defense's fault, though. He should have been out of that inning before that. He might have even had a chance to start the next one, but defense kept the inning going. He hit that limit, and it was a scary jam for the White Sox there for a bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Kurt Casale hit a ball to Josh Harrison. Harrison couldn't field, kept that inning alive. Then J.P. Crawford doubled to left, moving Casale to third. So runners on second and third. Kopech got into a little bit of a jam. Did you like going to Julio Rodriguez? He ended up being up at the plate. Did you like going to Jose Ruiz at that point?
I didn't like it, but I think I turned to you. I was like, who else? Who else could we go to in the fourth inning? Right here at this point, it's really early. There was, I don't know anybody available at that time. Jose Ruiz does not have a great year, but he's had great stretches. He got the job done in that situation, but there's not a lot you can do there for Cairo. And I'm sure he's getting help with Katz and Ethan Katz, and he's getting him counsel and saying, hey, man, Jose's been looking good in the bullpen. He can probably get some people out, and he looked good today. So, they had a pitch limit. I'm glad they stuck to it. And it's not a real ideal situation to go to Jose Ruiz right there, but that's the only guys you could go to today.
Well, you know what that situation is screaming for is Vince Velasquez.
True. But where did Vince Velasquez
come? But he was being saved for some much more important work.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. We can honestly have a bullpen discussion right now. Before we get into that, though, let's go to the Super Chats. Our guy Nathan Sheba. Always rep. I think he's a third baseline. I always see him posting photos of him down the third baseline. So Nathan says, Herb, that reference to Rocky is brilliant. Gorby, not so much, but I still love you. Can you name any other leaders of the USSR?
Oh, you could probably name all of them.
Yeah, Lenin, Stalin, guy in there now, Putin. He sucked.
It's not the USSR anymore.
I mean, pretty much acting like it. Dick.
Any other ones? Any other ones? Khrushchev? Brezhnev, perhaps?
Look at this guy over here.
Fuck. This guy Russian history.
I mean, they're famous. They're famous folks.
They're famous enough. All right. And our guy Eli Stein coming in with the Israeli new shekels, dropping 69.90
for the wins of 69 wins.
Yeah, 69 wins. Nice. Thank you, Eli, for dropping that. But yeah, Jose Ruiz comes in the bottom of the fourth inning. Like Vinny said, that might have been a good spot for Vince Velasquez, who came in the eighth inning when it was a tie ball.
One run.
It was a
one-run lead for the Sox.
One run lead for the Sox. It was 7-6. Thank you. One-run lead for the Sox. Very surprised that we did see the Sox go to Vince Velasquez, especially after they took the lead in the eighth inning. It went Michael Kopech, Jose Ruiz, Jake Diekman, Joe Kelly, Aaron Bummer, who just made his debut after coming off the IL, Vince Velasquez, Liam Hendricks. We're assuming that Kendall Graveman wasn't available after throwing 27 pitches on Monday.
Well, Velasquez and Hendricks were really the only guys that didn't make things really interesting, right? I mean, even some of the guys who didn't get runs credited to them had some very interesting outings today, and not in a good way if you're a White Sox fan, obviously.
Yeah,
but
those two were the only guys not to allow base runners.
Right. And so, I mean, to have that in a day when your bullpen needs to throw as much as it did, and to get a win like this, whew. But that's, I guess it's good work and also lucky work. And hey, I think at the end of the day, the only thing that matters is a win for these guys, right?
Yeah, and I said at the time, I still don't like the move to go to Vince Velasquez, but credit to Vince Velasquez for getting the job done and shoving up my ass there. So I didn't think it was a good move, but I didn't know the situation. They didn't want to go to Kendall Graveman, but I thought that the 11 pitches that Jimmy Lambert threw yesterday would have been enough for him to go in the game in the eighth inning, especially you have the lead right there. I don't know what the thought process was there, but Vince did a good job. Yeah, the shadows were with him, but you still got to get out, and he did. And that play by Elvis Andrus, mercy.
Yeah, I was about to say mercy. He really got, I mean, not bailed out, but Elvis Andrus, he first off pitches to Julio Rodriguez, Vince Velasquez in the eighth inning, gets him to ground out. Very nice play by Moncada to get it over there, just because Rodriguez was burning down the line. Then Velasquez got Kelly or France to ground strike out, and then the next play, I mean, in the hole, Elvis Andrus ranging towards third makes a brilliant play. I mean, I see so many people just being like, Elvis, what an addition to this clubhouse. He's been so huge. I think he's already been worth one WAR. I mean, what have you guys made of Elvis Andrus coming over here? Had a huge home run on Monday as well. He's been doing it with the bat and the glove.
I think he's done the job, and that's what he was brought in to do, was to do the job, right? I think the White Sox had a lot of, not a lot, but they had a few people that they could have put in that shortstop role on a regular basis. I think Larry Garcia had an ill-timed IL stint right then when TA got hurt as well, but obviously Leury has not famously done the job this year, especially with his bat. You could have gone to Romy Gonzalez, who has impressed a little bit this year at second base. We've seen Lenin Sosa. These are guys they could have thrown up their hands and say, all right, keep us afloat. Instead, they went out and got Elvis Andrus, who obviously brought a lot more dependability, a much better resume, if perhaps not, offensive results that are going to make you swoon or anything like that. But he has done the job in Tim Anderson's absence, and it has been what the White Sox needed in a big way. I don't think he's necessarily the guy who, is being praised here as the great savior of this White Sox season, just in the fact that, he's had his offensive struggles to match his offensive successes. He's had his defensive struggles to match his defensive successes. In this very game, dropped a pop-up, going over to the left field foul line to there today. Not everybody's going to be perfect, obviously, but he has been he has been, Sean, you keep using the word competent. Mm-hmm. I think that's, you know, an accurate reflection of what you could hope for. He's done what he was supposed to do, and it's very good. It's a good problem to have for the White Sox that people are praising him so much, and in light of, well, where can we put him once Tim comes back, because he needs to be playing every day.
Right, and I mean, I think second base makes the most sense. He hasn't played it in his major league career, but I compared it to Johnny Cueto when they made it, just because Johnny is a guy that has clearly proven himself as a major league baseball player, has not had the best of health, but when he's been out there, he has clearly been capable enough. So why not give the guy the runway to be capable? I think Elvis Andrus has proven to you that he has been a capable hitter, a capable fielder, and just proving to you that the moments just aren't too big for him. I don't think Lenin Sosa makes that play. I don't think Romy Gonzalez makes that play at shortstop, just because Elvis Andrus has been doing this for 1,800 games of his major league career. It's just such a breath of fresh air at this point. The Sox didn't make any trade deadlines acquisitions outside of the Jake Diekman acquisition, but the Elvis Andrus one, I think you can lump in at this point, just because it was so close. They didn't end up trading for him, which I think would have been a huge benefit. If they traded for a salary, I think Sox fans probably would have been worried, even though it's not their money. But at the end of the day, Elvis Andrus is on their team. Very excited about that. And even Romy. I mean, Romy's played well, even when he's been up here. Josh Harrison made two errors today, so I don't know if you're getting a little bit off the Josh Harrison trade here, but it seems like Elvis Andrus and Josh Harrison probably will just hold down second base if or when TA comes back, because we really haven't gotten an update on TA's health and what his timeline may be returning from that sagittal band tear.
And I think about all the things that had to go wrong for the White Sox for Elvis to be on this team. Firstly, the Danny Mendick injury early in the season. If he's healthy this whole time, when TA goes down, I think Danny Mendick, what he was doing this year with the bat especially, is plugged right in to shortstop, and you don't really skip. I mean, you skip a beat because Tim is an all-star, and Danny Mendick's ultimately a fifth infielder on this team. But he was playing so well in his time with the bat and with the glove, so he would have been the guy. The Oakland A's just saying, we don't want to give you more at-bats, which is smart for a veteran team or for a young team that's giving veteran money. They still got to pay him the money. But get off my team, go with somebody else's team. And the White Sox striking quickly to sign Elvis Andrus as much as they did and getting him in here. And he's played much better than I ever expected him to play. The two guys that the White Sox picked up pretty much in season with him and Johnny Cueto have been phenomenal, have been awesome, have been more than you've asked for this year. And kudos to Rick Conn for those two moves. Now, I got other problems with them. These two moves are not the problems. These are great moves. And when TA does come back, I think a switch to second base, while it might be hard for Elvis, I think he'll get the job done and do the job, especially with the bat. I don't know if he stays up at the two spot there. He'll probably move back to like the 6, 7, or 8 spot. But when Tim comes back, he's the leadoff hitter, and Elvis Andrus would be the second baseman going forward.
Name of my next album, by the way, Sagittal Band Tear.
It's a great band name. And the members of Sagittal Band Tear. Let's tell you about PointsBet. They're counting down the days until football season with a new offer every day until the season kicks off. Guess what? That's tomorrow. From now until September 8th, again tomorrow, the PointsBet Power Hour will unlock a new daily offer from 12 to 1 p.m. Central Standard Time. So sign up for PointsBet now using code CHGO to also get 2 risk-free bets up to $2,000. Don't miss out on your chance to get daily access to free bets, boosted odds, and so much more now through September 8th. But that's not it. If you make a $51 or more first-time deposit and bet $51 or more live or pregame on the Bears Niners game this Sunday, you will, as a new user using the code CHGO, get the option of the CHGO Midway Varsity zip up hoodie or the CHGO crew neck hoodie. You'll also get the QB1 shirt and the CHGO yearly membership and $2,000 in risk-free bets. So two bets up to $2,000, two risk-free bets up to $2,000. So again, you bet $51 or more pregame or live on the Bears-Niners game, you get the CHGO Bears collection, you get your choice of sweatshirt, the QB1 shirt, the yearly CHGO membership, and two risk-free bets up to $2,000. The best deal in town just got even better. So download the PointsBet app today and use code CHGO to take advantage of this limited time offer. Don't just bet. Live your bet life with PointsBet. If you or somebody you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER for crisis counseling and referral services. And This is a new sponsor, Pins and Aces. I know we've been working with them at All City. I know that they've been the presenters over of Big Drive Energy out in Denver. Colorado has a lot of nice weather, a lot of nice golf ranges out there, so they have a golf show. We don't, not really a golf city, all right? But Pins and Aces, the official golf apparel partner of CHGO.
Oh, you're telling me you haven't been over to Sydney Maravitz over there in Lakefield?
On the lake? Oh,
right,
man.
On the lake?
Mercy, I'll tell you what.
Have you guys?
Yeah.
I mean, I've walked by it a million times.
I don't pick you for a golfer.
Not a golf guy, no. Yeah.
I'm not a golfer either, but my friend is, and he took me to Maravitz, and I think it was probably like 15 years ago. At the time, I think we walked the course. I don't know if they have still just only walking courses, but it's beautiful. Beautiful course.
I'm a big mini golf guy.
Oh, yeah. I love mini golf. Yeah. Maybe that's our off season content. We do like 15 minutes
in the snow
of mini golf. Yeah, why not? Let's go. Hey, brave the elements. But if you're going to be brave in the elements, or if you're going to be out at the Lakeshore Golf Course, Pins and Aces, the official golf apparel partner of CHGO. We love our Pins and Aces gear and gets a ton of compliments on and off the course. I haven't worn Pins and Aces just yet, but that's what all of our golf guys say. They're a family owned golf and apparel business, and they make amazing polos, hats, golf bags, and even our favorite beer sleeves, an innovative product that allows you to store 7 beers right inside your golf bag and keep your drinks cold the entire round. I think there's 9 holes in the first half of a golf course. All right.
Yes,
so
that's
about a beer a hole.
Yeah. All right? No, see, this is going to make me maybe a golf guy.
A beer?
If I can have 9 beers during it, sure.
I forgot we have a golf guy here. Steven goes golfing like every weekend.
Yeah, you had me at 7 beers. You know how many Natterdays I'm going to put in there?
There you go.
7.
You could put 7 Natterdays.
Or, you know, you could put, you know, better beers in there, too.
That's what I said.
So check out Pins and Aces and use code CHGO to receive 15% off your first order and get free shipping. That's pinsandaces.com, PINSANDACES.com, and use code CHGO to get 15% off your first order. And again, if you buy the beer sleeve, the innovative beer sleeve, you can put whatever beers you want in it, all right? So just get the 24-pack. You'll have 3 left in there, and you could take out, you know, 3 rounds of beer right there. So whether it's Natterdays, Guinness, probably too heavy for a golf game,
yeah.
But whatever you want to drink.
And before we keep on going, I think there was a Matthew Graber question up there. Pretty funny. Pretty good. It was up a little bit more right here. Right now, Cease is set to pitch Wednesday against the Colorado. Sox should switch it up so Cease pitches the makeup game at Cleveland the next day instead of Giolito. That's a pretty good idea. I don't know if the White Sox will do that. I mean, it would be in the White Sox best interest to win the Cleveland game. So putting your best pitcher out there would be the best idea.
Well, and I don't hate it because they have an off day on Monday. Giolito pitches on Friday. So the 10th, the 11th, the 12th, the 13th, that's 4 days of rest.
And
so,
maybe,
I mean, that might be all right for Giolito.
Yeah, and maybe you can skate by without Giolito and you maybe have a Davis Martin start there.
I think the idea is maybe, too, if you were talking about it from a White Sox standpoint, they know Giolito is used to, you know, throwing the full season, going on regular rest down the stretch. Cease is a guy maybe who hasn't been in this position quite as many times. Give him an extra day, you buy him an extra day of rest, and that might be beneficial. Obviously, we've seen varying results with various pitchers on that front. You know, do you go with the routine or do you go with some extra rest? I think giving Dylan some extra rest has been a goal of theirs throughout the season. Maybe they do it again with the off day to help him out there.
It'd be interesting. Lucas has had 3 starts against Cleveland, hasn't made one since July 22nd. He did give up 6 earned runs in that start, but I think career-wise, he's been pretty good against Cleveland. So I'm not sure. I know Dylan hasn't had huge strikeout numbers against Cleveland, but I mean, we definitely know Dylan's been better. I mean, we made a size C-shirt for him this year. So if you want the better pitcher, I think that could definitely be an option there. So great idea there from, who was that again?
Matthew Graber.
Okay. Shout out to Matthew for the question there. Dylan will lead off the Sox on Thursday on September 8th. It's J.P. Sears versus Dylan Cease. That's your next pitching matchup. And we will have you covered. It will be a pre- and post-game show from our house tomorrow. So about 8 o'clock, we'll get the pre-game show started for the Oakland and Sox game tomorrow at 8:40.
I like how you said our house. Like, singular. We all live together.
Yeah,
we're roommates.
Our house in the middle of the street.
Big Madness. Big Madness fans here on the pod.
Their band name was Madness, and the album was Madness, too, right?
Yeah, they had many albums, but yeah.
Like Big Country.
Oh, right.
Song was Big Country.
No, that's
the album was also.
But it was Bad Company who did it first.
Did they?
Yeah. Bad Co.
It's like Elvis. He's like, when he covers Unchained Melody, this is the song Unchained Melody. off an album, Unchained Melody. Makes a lot of sense.
There you go.
All right. Yeah. I do want to mention one final thing, and we'll get back to the White Sox. We have a brand new shirt in the CHGO locker. We told you about the size C shirt, but we now have the CHGO script shirt in black and white. I have seen the red one. I don't like red on me. I hate wearing the color red. So now that I have a black shirt with this logo in the White Sox colors, I immediately went out and bought it on the CHGO locker. I used that employee discount, and I could not be more happy or more excited for this to come. I do like it, but like the mix match one for like the CHGO sports podcast for Kevin, that one's good. The Red Bulls one, like, eh, but like this one.
How could you have played for the Bill Melton era White Sox? Couldn't have done it.
Couldn't have done it.
They wore red.
Oh, right.
It was my favorite White Sox uniform, so you couldn't have participated.
I was wondering what you're talking about. Yeah, 71, yeah. Right. Yeah. Fantastic uniform.
As I told you, like, I got the sky blue shirt, the blue sky shirt of the team, and I don't think I look good in light blue, but now they've changed it to dark black and a little blue sky in the middle. It looks, you know, black. You know, me and black go like this. We go back like rocking chairs, as Hood would say. But right there, Steven's showing it on CHGO locker room right there. The first shirt is the sky shirt that's in black, and then right next to it is the script CHGO shirt in White Sox colors. Those, man, I'm glad. That's half the reason why I chose the White Sox, because the color scheme works with my attire. I know Vinny's the colorful one on our set. Sean and I are black and white. Well, Sean mixes up with a little green every once in a while, but me, black, white, green, dark green.
Yeah, personally, I love the way I look in red.
You do?
Yeah, I mean, as long as it's a bright color, I'm pumped.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. I like the purple, by the way.
We're going with purple. The Hendricks shirt today, because they were out in Seattle. I figured it only made sense.
Makes sense. Yeah. I can't wait to wear my Ricky Henderson jersey tomorrow, because they'll be in Oakland. Let's talk about the White Sox hitting, because Brandon says, man, look what happens when this team hits. They only got 8 hits today. It felt like a lot more. The Sox were able to draw 3 walks as well. A couple errors on Seattle's part near the end of the game made it real sloppy for the Mariners. But the White Sox...
Shadows, man.
Yeah, the shadows were difficult.
The Mariners could not see the ball in their own ballpark.
No, they could not.
It's you'd think they would close the roof.
That's what you were talking about. Vinny Duber, staunch advocate of the dome. You're a big Arlington Heights guy, huh?
Not a big Arlington Heights guy. Keep them at Soldier Field. But my point being is that if you have the ability to eliminate the shadows in your ballpark that are causing your team to make numerous errors, maybe you should do that. Maybe you should take advantage of that, close the roof, and then you won't make as many errors.
And I don't know if the lights would have done anything, you know, if you have concentrated lights and gave you a little bit more visibility there when the shadows are overtaking the players at home plate. Because, yes, they could not see Vince Velasquez and definitely couldn't see Liam Hendricks, but that might be a regular thing. But Vince Velasquez looked like the champion.
But that's just batting.
Yeah.
I mean, that inning, they had back-to-back errors. I don't know if they called them back-to-back errors, but that pop-up drops in the middle of center field because the second baseman doesn't know where it is. And then they throw the ball. They get the bunt. Was it a bunt or a swinging bunt to third base? And he throws it almost all the way into the stands because the first baseman probably couldn't see it to catch it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they gave Flexen an error on that one.
In the pop-up to center?
The Zavala bunt.
That
one was a clearly an error. There was not an error. It was marked as a Harrison single for that one in front of him. I don't know which ones. Garcia was safe at third when he stole second because there was a throwing error when Garcia stole second. So that was the other error.
That was going to go into center field regardless, I think. But
that might also be a thing where the guy who was catching the ball at second can't see the ball coming from Kirk Casale, and it's a short hop, so you usually can see that ball all the way through, and maybe he couldn't see it, and picking up the short hop was a little difficult because of the shadows.
And my guy, Sebi, got on base because of a Suarez error in the sixth, so those were the errors made by the Mariners. But, yeah, I mean, home field advantage. Like, you'd think the team playing in T-Mobile Park and formerly Safeco would be used to the shadows at that point.
Well, I'm just saying, you've played a 1 o'clock game there before.
Right.
I mean, that ballpark's been there for 20 years. Like, when you build the ballpark and you say, when we play a 1 o'clock game, in the late innings, nobody can see the ball. Maybe we should close the roof for 1 o'clock games.
Maybe.
And I don't know the rules on that. You know, once you start the game, if there's not inclement weather, there's no closing of the roof at any time if the weather stays the same. And I know if you do it for one team, you have to do it for the other. So if they wanted to have the advantage, they would have to do it at the top of the inning when the White Sox are batting and then have it for themselves at the bottom of the inning.
And for the sake of time of game, the last thing we want is, all right, we're going to take a 15-minute delay to close the roof.
I don't know if it takes that long for that. I know it takes that long at the Rogers Center, but it's probably quicker than that.
Miller Park one closes pretty quick. But yeah, Melissa say with the shadows, I'm surprised the Sox weren't dropping balls all over the place. They were pre-shadows. They were dropping it when it was a bright sunshiny day earlier in the game.
Yes. Well, real quick, I just found it. 10 to 12 minutes to close the T-Mobile Park roof. The three movable panels glide on 128 steel wheels powered by 9610 horsepower electric motors.
Isn't that a Rolling Stones album?
Steel wheels?
Yeah.
128 steel wheels?
Yeah.
Or 9610 horsepower electric motors.
No, that's a little more clunky.
Yeah, a little bit more clunky. But yeah, Melissa also mentioned they weren't all singles, the White Sox, 8 hits. 3 extra base hits. Aloy hit that massive home run that we mentioned in the 4th inning to open up the scoring for the Sox. And then 2 doubles as well. Those came in the 6th. The Sox had 2 runs again from the Abreu and Jimenez home run. Abreu beating out that double play, got on base. That made it a 4-2 game. And then in the 6th, we mentioned Zavala making it to first on the fielding error. Andrus then bunted and got on base on the single. Then Moncada flied out to right. But then Jose Abreu came through with a 2 RBI single, or just 1 RBI single, because then he ended up having a sac fly. Jimenez doubled to left. Then Sheets hit a sac fly to right. And then Andrew Vaughn ripped a double down the left field line. So extra base hits were huge in this White Sox game today. They were also huge in the other win this series, getting home runs from A.J. Pollock and Elvis Andrus. And we've been seeing, I mean, that's been the main thing with the Sox over this kind of 9-game run here where they've won 3 series. Extra base hits have been huge. I don't know if we've been seeing something consistently from the Sox approach, but the results have been there, and I'm not going to bat an eye at it.
Yeah, I mean, listen, that shouldn't be a surprise. We've been sitting around wondering all year, why aren't the White Sox winning more games? And I think the conclusion we came to is because their slugging percentage is in the toilet and they don't walk, right? You know, if they were to improve both of those things, well, there you go. They would start winning some more, and certainly that's what's happened. I would agree with you that I don't think it has been consistent. You know what I mean? The first 2 games of this series, they barely scored any runs. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think that we're seeing a team breaking out offensively. That being said, every time you can do that in a game, whether it's consistent or not, you're going to have a much better shot of winning. And we've been talking this whole show about how important every single win is going to be for this team. Take it. Take the 9 runs today. Take the win. We're getting down to the point where, you know, we got to stop worrying about trends here when it comes to evaluating this team. And you just got to go on a night-by-night basis and say, what can they do to win tonight?
And that inning, I want to point out, like, while Eugenio Suarez had an awesome day at the plate, 2 home runs, rocket shot he hit off of Mike Kopech and then later off of Aaron Bummer, his defense that inning, piss poor. The error he made to start it off, and then the lack of effort he gave on the Aloy double. The ball just went right under his glove. If he dives, he can at least keep that ball in the infield. He wasn't interested in diving there. I don't know. He couldn't see the ball. You know, I don't know if the shadows took over at that time, but he played that one poorly. And then the Andrew Vaughn one was less of a lapse of judgment. It was just a rocket shot by him. So he might have a great day at the plate, but his defense was woeful today.
Yeah, and just the Mariners' defense in general. I mean, as we mentioned with the shadows, just woeful all around. And I talked about the White Sox, you know, not making those mistakes against the Mariners last night. They really only made 1 in the series. That one play where Ty France ends up scoring on the overthrow that hits the camera was really the only big mistake the Sox made defensively this series, right?
Yeah, there was that tough play today that Josh had at second base that kind of kept that inning going.
Kept the ball in front of him.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it was terrible. I don't think it was a huge mistake, certainly. But, they have to tighten up the defense, obviously, if they're going to do anything moving forward. But you're right. I think the Mariners out-mistaked them here defensively in this series, for sure.
Which is great to see if you're a White Sox fan. Nathan asking, am I being oversensitive, or does it seem like the editor doing the headlines for these great shows seem to call out my beloved Jose an awful lot when we lose? Steven, well, what's up with this? Why are you writing bad headlines?
Wow, I can't believe you'd say that, the Jose Abreu hater himself.
I don't write the headlines.
Sean is actually the one that gives me the headlines. So put your fingers right.
Also, didn't I say something nice today? What's the headline
yesterday it was something about Jose Abreu losing.
Well, because he's the player for the White Sox.
Yeah,
like, right here.
There's no Tim Anderson. I guess they could have used Aloy. But
a little inside for Nathan. We're looking for clicks, views. So, you know, no one's going to be clicking for, oh, Lourdes García and the White Sox lose this game.
Oh, Vince Velasquez shuts him out in the
and
eighth.
So, you know, you get a little cachet.
Performance today by Vince.
An MVP like Jose, the bobblehead that's right in front of me, you got to put his name out in the front. And maybe he wasn't the main reason of the team losing that day, but, you know, people like, oh, what are they talking about Jose Abreu? I want to click into that show. It's a little trick we do here.
Want to hear from Sean. Want to hear what horrible things Sean's going to say about Jose Abreu today.
He's going to say anything about him. I mean, just if the White Sox have a shutout, you know, you're probably going to see if Jose Abreu goes 0-4, that's going to be an easy, you know, plug right in. If Tim Anderson goes 0-4 and he's playing on the in the game, he's probably going to be, you know, the guy that's on the headline.
Wow.
Alex Potno saying, selling out pedo for clicks. Shameful.
This anti-Abreu agenda Sean has been peddling since day one of this podcast.
I'll do a lot for clicks, man. I'll be honest. Mercy. Let's talk about Elvis Andrus, because, again, I want those clicks. He's been saving the White Sox season so far, according to White Sox fans. It's only been 18 games, and they're 8-10. So, I mean, it's not like
about right.
But I thought this was interesting from James Fegan, who's out in Seattle. He talked to Elvis Andrus, and Elvis said, where I am in my career, I just want to have the opportunity to win on how he'll handle when Tim Anderson returns. Quote, whenever he comes back, I'll be more than happy. If I have to move positions or change my role, I'll always be ready for whatever. Neither Andrus or Anderson have played a position other than shortstop at the major leagues, which James closes out that little athletic piece but I do want to just pose the question. We kind of talked about it a little bit already, but Elvis Andrus moving to second base. I think Andrus and Harrison taking over second base if TA comes back, you know, around September 20th. I think that's the right move. I think anything else, Yoan Moncada moving to second base, TA moving to second base, kind of blasphemous.
Yeah, because TA is going to be your shortstop moving forward. Elvis Andrus just might be here for this last month, and that'll be it. So Elvis would be the one that move and have to adjust to the new position, not Tim Anderson. And we've already discussed where Yoan Moncada's exemplary playing third base. Last night's move, notwithstanding, he's exemplary at third base. Keep him right there. And you already saw that he doesn't play well at second base, and he's not comfortable at the bat. I know you say, well, he sucks at the bat right now, but his glove is playing this year. So keep him out third, and give him some at-bats, and Elvis can go to second base and adjust. I don't think it will be that tough of an adjustment. Still in the middle infield, going from, you know, moving from your left to your right will be a little adjustment, but I think anybody can do it as a veteran like Elvis Andrus.
Well, in StatCast lists, field location for outs above average, they go back since 2016. At shortstop, 3,000 attempts for Elvis Andrus. He's got an outs above average of 24. And then at second base, 348 attempts, basically because of shifts. He's got an outs above average of -2, but his success rate and estimated success rate about the same at 78%. So it might be a little bit of an adjustment, but I'd be really surprised if he wasn't able to do that. I know that you are like, oh, well, he's never played it before, and we're complaining about right fielders and first basemen playing the outfield. So you'd be all right if Elvis Andrus tried out second base?
I'm not the guy who's been complaining about first baseman playing the outfield all year. So the guy down there is. Also, Steven Garrett, I think, just gave us our next shirt idea, just because I think without context, it'd be a ridiculous thing to see somebody wearing, which is revenge is a dish best served Elvis.
Oh.
Throw some sideburns and some rhinestones. Stone shades on that t-shirt, and I think people will buy that for absolutely no reason. So great job there. Let's keep that one in the bank. But and here's a super chat. Look at me just shouting out all the comments.
Go ahead. Host the damn show.
Yeah, you're being bumped for your ridiculous what's the word? Now I've blown it. Oh, there you go. Your contradictory statements on Gavin second Sheets and Andrew Vaughn versus Elvis Andrus. But hey, go ahead, put him there. You know what I mean? He's been good in the lineup. What's the worst thing that can happen? He's terrible at playing second base, and the next day you don't put him there.
Right.
Maybe it costs you a game, who knows? But I think right now you've got to do what you can to keep that guy in the lineup because he's coming through consistently for you. That being said, I don't know if it's going to work. You know, I mean, true. People can call for it all they want. I would adjust your expectations accordingly because this is a guy who's been playing Major League Baseball for a decade and a half and has never once played second base. Maybe it's easy. Maybe it's easy for him. Maybe it's hard for him. Maybe it doesn't work at all, or maybe it just goes fine. But, I mean, if they do it, sure, why not? I just wouldn't expect it to be this smashing success until proven otherwise.
Yeah, I mean, it might go wrong. I'm not sure if I'm reading these correctly, but for StatCast, they do break it down whether you're going lateral towards third and lateral towards first base. Going lateral towards third base, Elvis Andrus has an outs above average of 3 throughout his career. Laddering towards first base, -29, but I don't know if that's just because mainly he's going towards third base and has a lot more opportunities that way, just because of the position being at shortstop. So I don't know if you flip that to second, if he does get worse, but the great play that he made today, he was ranging towards third base. So I'm not sure if, you know, flipping that on him will cause him to, you know, be a worse defender at second base, but we will have to wait and see. It's time for your points.
Hold on a second real quick. We got that super chat.
Oh, we do have a super chat. Thank you. Again, you guys should be hosting the show. Kevin Bryant with the Super Chat. Thank you very much, Kevin, for the $5 Super Chat. Cleveland and Minnesota have a 5-game series coming up. Then the Sox play 3 versus Cleveland at home. I think this heavily favors the Sox. 2022 World Series champs,
wow.
Baby.
Wow, one win. One win in Seattle really turns everybody right around. Kool-Aid. That's some fun things to see.
What's your guys' favorite Kool-Aid flavor? We're about to do cereal draft in a second.
Not a Kool-Aid guy.
I haven't done it in a long time. Yeah,
Mondos. I used to drink Mondos back in the day.
I'm a big little jug guy. You know, the little jug of juice.
Yeah, well, barrels? Mondos were that, but tall and skinny. Yeah.
Okay.
There were also, I don't remember what they were called, but when I was a real little kid, they had other versions of that in the wax bottle, you know, that had like funny cartoon faces as part of the wax bottle.
Very nice. I think I'm going to pick some of those up. Get a couple of juices
there
for the night. Anyways, I wanted to let you know about PointsBet. PointsBet, they're counting down the days until football season with a new offer every day until the season kicks off. From now until September 8th, PointsBet's Power Hour will unlock a new daily offer from 12 to 1 p.m. Central Standard Time. So sign up for PointsBet now using code CHGO to also get 2 risk-free bets up to $2,000. And don't miss out on your chance to get daily access to free bets, boosted odds, and so much more now through September 8th. I will tell you to hold off my pick of the week until 12 to 1 p.m. Central Standard Time tomorrow, because I think for the last day of the Power Hour, PointsBet will probably give you a nice offer, so I would wait, because I do think the Rams will win tomorrow against the Bills. My pick of the week, Rams money line at home. Right now they're the underdog. I got their money line at +110, so if you're able to get boosted odds, or maybe you put down $50 on the Rams-Bills game, you get a $20 live bet. I would just say, if you're going to be gambling on PointsBet at all, I'd say wait till the 12 o'clock hour tomorrow, because you might get some boosted odds, maybe some free bets. But that's my pick of the week, Rams money line tomorrow at +110. Download the PointsBet app today and use code CHGO to take advantage of this limited time offer. And don't just bet, live your bet life at PointsBet. If you or somebody you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER for crisis counseling and referral services. Again, the White Sox will be playing the A's in a 4-game series. It's Dylan Cease versus J.P. Sears. Then it is going to be Lucas Giolito versus James Caprillion. Then Lance Lynn versus, I believe this is Adrian Martinez. And closing out that series, it will be Johnny Cueto versus Cole Irving. So a 4-game series out in Oakland, and the Twins and Guardians are about to face off against each other in a series after Cleveland finishes up against Kansas City. So we'll know a lot about the AL Central tomorrow, and we'll be previewing tomorrow's game for you as well. So you get more AL Central in-depth look on tomorrow's pregame show. Because right now, it's time for the cereal draft. Because, of course, it is. It only took us 137 games to do a draft. Many other shows have done a draft before. CHGO Blackhawks did, like, an American player draft because it was the 4th of July.
American player draft.
Cool. I think, hey, Cubs. They've done a draft that was, like, I think it was, like, Sox and Cubs players from the 2000s.
Gotcha. So
we're doing
Carlos Lee was number one overall pick.
Yes,
probably.
Juan Pierre was 2.
Yeah. Both teams. Both teams.
Juan Pierre.
Yeah.
So both teams. The first round probably had to be all both team guys.
Neil Kotz.
David Artsma.
The catcher Deonor Navarro,
absolutely.
And the other catcher,
Alex Avila.
Gio Soto.
So well. Many catchers.
Legends. But let's get into the very, very important cereal draft. It's going to be. So love Steven's face. It looks exactly like us.
Steven's got the like big head behind the foul shot at a college basketball game picture going on right there, which I enjoy.
Also, a little bit red. Was this after you were golfing and got a bad sunburn?
This was after several drinks at a wedding.
Okay, and the smile line kind of looks like it gives you a mustache. Kind of look like you're about to, you know, make some pizza.
No? Wow.
Okay. Okay. What's to say to that? All right.
Steven, just make your first pick.
All right, yeah, Steven, Steven's got a serial draft. We're going snake round. Four rounds, four people. It's Steven, then Herb, then Vinny, then me. Steven has the first pick, Herb second, Vinny third, I'm fourth, and then I also have the fifth pick, and then we'll go back to Vinny, Herb, Steven, and then Steven will have two picks, yada, yada, yada. It's a snake draft. Four cereals. If you pick one version of the cereal, that doesn't mean that a different flavor of that cereal it comes off the board. So if you take Rice Krispies, Cocoa Krispies is still available. So, Steven, after all is said, first pick.
All right, this one was actually really easy for me. I was glad to get the number one pick because I know if I didn't get the number one pick, one of you would have taken it before I got to it. So my pick is in, and I got a sound for it.
Oh, very nice.
Wow. You'll be hearing that a lot over the next 15 minutes.
With the first overall pick and the first ever cereal draft at CHGO, Stephen Nicholas selects Reese's Puffs out of General Mills University.
Oh, wow. Weirdo. Big hug for the commish for the Reese's Puffs. Yeah, that would have been number one on pretty much everybody's board, I think.
I mean, delicious flavor. The milk is delicious afterwards. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no better flavors combination than chocolate and peanut butter. That's a great pick.
And what we've heard about this prospect, Stephen Nicholas and the prospect came to a deal early. I mean, this was a pre-announced deal. Yeah. Yeah. Not a lot of surprise in the war room of
Be announced very soon.
Yes, large contract coming the way of Reese's Puff. Herb, you're up.
All right, with the number two pick, I mean, I know this is people's number one. It's their GOAT. I like it. It's not my favorite, but I'm doing a calculated risk to get my actual favorite in the second round. Hopefully, you guys are going to pass it up. But I'm going with the champion, Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
How exciting.
Yes. No draft sound? Oh, no.
Man, we're going to do that every time. Come on, you just got to make the graphic.
Steven's making the graphic.
I made the sound. I might as well.
There you go.
Steven did not have Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
That every time is going to be a problem.
All right.
Didn't have that ready.
Second pick is Cinnamon Toast Crunch. All right, Vinny, you're up on the board.
All right, first round pick. I'm surprising everybody because I thought I was going to have the Reese's Puffs as my top of the board. As I thought about it a little bit more, thought back to my childhood, did a little nostalgic soul searching. Turns out I have a different favorite cereal than Reese's Puffs, which I thought was my favorite cereal. First pick on Team Vinny is going to be Peanut Butter Crunch.
Wow. Mm. All right.
Peanut Butter Crunch.
I did not even have that on my
draft.
That's a Captain Crunch variety.
This is going to take a while to put together.
It's tremendous. With that, I got to go favorite. I know I just blew the strategy. I probably could have had that in the fourth round, but we're going with my personal favorite there. Peanut butter cereal all day long.
And you're going with this one. Just like the
Captain Crunch peanut butter variety, yes.
And that's an interesting Captain Crunch because there's no actual captains in that. That's all balls. That's all peanut butter balls. So,
indeed it is.
Real interesting pick there.
Yes.
And I like the old Captain Crunch
design. Yeah, I need a t-shirt with that Captain Crunch elephant on it, I think. That's pretty fantastic, Steven.
That's pretty sick.
You got the Cubs hat on with Captain Crunch? What the hell is he going?
Mercy.
I feel like that's just a cheap rip-off.
And as Lawrence Holmes points out, he's not really a captain of anything. He's not an admiral. Anything captain is like not an actual ranking
in the Navy. You
it's
mean
not no even, captain?
It's not a word.
It's not real. Gotcha. It's not real. Come on,
he's gotcha. Captain Crunch.
Peanut butter crunch all day.
All right. Well, I'm
back to back picks here.
Sure. I'm actually pretty thankful that you went Captain Crunch and didn't go with my version. I'm going to go Captain Crunch and berries. Captain Crunch and berries is the best variety of Captain Crunch.
Disagree.
Captain Crunch regular, the red box will rip up your mouth. So you got to add those berries in there. I like, some people go oops all berries. I think that's a little bit too much, a little bit too sugary. You get a little bit of the nice plain Captain Crunch, and then you get the berries. I think it's a fantastic pair. I'm going to go off the board a little bit.
Go ahead.
No, I'm going to go against what my gut says, and I'm going to take Cookie Crisp. In round
Boo.
Two.
Boo.
The really? New York crowd hates
right.
it.
Oh, yeah. It right. Giants. The Giants and Jets fans are just booing the hell out of you right now.
why did I pick Mark Bavaro right here?
Yeah, Cookie Crisp is not cereal. It's a box full of cookies.
It's literally marketed as a cereal. Don't blame me. Blame America.
Yeah, I will.
Okay.
Just grab some famous me. Grab some famous Amos and put milk on it.
Exactly.
It sounds awesome. Yeah. It sounds way better than Cinnamon Toast
basically,
Crunch or Reese's Puffs.
Basically, you know how they have the walking taco, which is like a bag of Fritos and with Love chili it. In it. You could have a walking cereal. You get one of them bags of Chips Ahoy and just pour some milk in there and then just
you guys are sounding, you're just making great ideas. This all sounds fantastic to me, the guy taking Cookie Crisp.
All right, I'm back up.
Yeah,
I'm back up. All right, I'm getting a second round steal here. Guys, with the second pick, Honey Nut Cheerios.
Oh, that's solid.
That's
solid.
That's no steal.
What are
that's
you eating?
That is a great steal.
You're either 8 or 80 cereal. If you're eating Cheerios.
That is, that is the textbook definition of cereal.
Keep it.
I just took the Mike Trout of cereal. When you look it up in the dictionary, you look up baseball player, Mike Trout. You look up cereal in the dictionary, Honey Nut Cheerios. There you go.
Absolutely Lost injured. Not.
Past its prime. Yeah, Honey Nut Cheerios is Mike Trout. You're right.
Yeah, just like the 80-year-old.
Past his prime, Mike Trout.
Just like the 80-year-old eating the cereal and Mike Trout, they both have bad backs.
And guess who's gonna give you that solid production every single day? Honey Nut Cheerios.
I mean, bland. I think I've just walked in and my strategy did work. By picking Cinnamon Toast Crunch in the first round, I get to my second round pick, which is the best cereal out of all these cereals.
Why are we all picking the best cereals?
I mean, Fred Flintstone used to eat this cereal, and then Barney used to steal it. I thought he was talking about his daughter at first, but no, he was talking about his Fruity Pebbles. Barney, my Pebbles! Fruity Pebbles is the goat out there.
Stole my pick.
Tell me what better milk you have after you eat something. There's no better milk. The crunch is delicious. It's great when it's soggy still. Fruity Pebbles, the goat of cereals.
My biggest complaint was when it's soggy. It's like paper. You're literally eating paper when it's soggy.
Fruity Pebbles is delicious.
I hate Fruity and Cocoa Pebbles.
I will say this.
You're eating it too slow. Herb, you picked. There's a superior Flintstone cereal out there that you did not pick.
That one's trash.
I'm guessing it's Cocoa Pebbles. I'll take the large leap. I jump to conclusion here. I think it might be Cocoa Pebbles.
Kind of funny you say that because I'm on the clock right now.
Take that trash.
I love how you're the only person getting the
draft. You're the only person getting the sound effect. Well, he queued it up. It's his prerogative.
From Post University.
Oh, gosh.
With the second pick. His second pick is in the last pick of the second round here. Cocoa Pebbles is off the board for Steven Nicholas. And Vinny, you said something that really stuck with me, and that was the milk afterward. You're 100% right. Or I'm sorry, Herb, you said that.
Yes.
It's a term I've coined. It's called after milk. The after milk is what determines the quality of a cereal. It's what really gives it some legs.
You know, my fiance does not drink the milk after she eats cereal. I was like, this is ridiculous.
That's an odd move.
Yeah, I was like, that's the best part of the cereal. Delicious food, and then you get a drink to wash it down.
I'd say that's unethical. Yeah. For a lawyer who just took her ethical test, I'd say that's unethical.
Mm-hmm. All right, Steven, what do you got?
Oh, yeah, that's right. I have
You're following up. Two picks. Wow. Bonnie Bergstein has made an appearance into the CHGO studios. Really great to have Bonnie.
I got to give credit to Casey for reminding me about this one. I'm going to go with French Toast Crunch next.
Ooh, I'm unfamiliar with that.
I would highly recommend it.
Someone from Ohio would bring up French Toast Crunch.
What does that even mean?
I don't know, but what is French Toast Crunch?
I was unaware of this cereal's existence.
Is that like Cinnamon Toast Crunch?
The second I'm done putting this graphic together, I know there's going to be people in the comments saying, oh, French Toast Crunch is amazing.
People love French Toast Crunch. I've never had it.
Yeah. I mean, I love French toast, so it's not surprising.
It is delicious. It's like little pieces of French toast and cereal, and the after milk is once again excellent on that one.
I have a better cereal than that. That's literally like the same thing. Does it taste French at all? Yeah, oui.
I'm sure that people in the comments and people who are listening through the podcast are wondering where is the goat of their cereal? Where's their goat cereal? And I'm gonna get you. They're great.
Nice.
Ooh, Frosted Flakes. That's a good pick.
Their food.
Imitation Frosted Flakes, too, with Terry the Tiger.
Good pick, Herb.
It's a classic one. Yeah. I'm surprised it honestly went before Honey Nut Cheerios. No offense.
I mean, here's the thing. Cheerios has the edge on Frosted Flakes because Frosted Flakes you have to eat in like 30 seconds or it's ruined.
It'll get soggy.
Yeah, it gets soggy quicker than any cereal. You have to down it or it's gone.
Can I ask you guys before we keep on going? I saw somebody, and this is a big-time thing on TikTok and all the rest of the social medias. People are putting milk in before they put the cereal in. I'm like, that's dumb.
No.
It's really dumb.
I'm a cereal.
I wonder if that works.
They swear by it.
I mean, like, no. I don't do that, but I would be willing to hear someone out on that on that take.
I mean, it works. I mean, it's not like, you know, what do you have to be really specific about the order of operations you do it in? I mean,
it's milk, a two it's, ingredient.
No, it's very
important. Yeah, right. I mean, like, because would you put the spoon in third?
All the
or do you put the spoon in first
bowl.
And then pour the milk over?
You got some of the top of the cereal not getting any of the milk. I do the milk spreading on all the pieces of the cereal. Yeah, and then it filters on down.
And
then
it filters on down. Yeah, you got to ladle it anyway to make sure it gets all on there.
You guys got bowls where you're not filling up the bowl? I'm filling up the bowl, and so there's no room to stir.
Especially not with Fruity Pebbles. If I fill up the bowl of Fruity Pebbles, it's going to be literally paper. It's going to disintegrate in the bowl.
I literally want some cereal. I haven't had cereal in years. And I want some cereal right now.
Everyone's loving your pick right now.
Herb's having a nice draft. Herb is having a nice draft. I don't know. I'm going to try to claw my way back into it with my third round pick, Cocoa Puffs.
Okay. Mm.
Which I loved when I was a kid. You know, I think it's obviously the Reese's combines Cocoa Puffs and peanut butter crunch. Mm-hmm. But sometimes you want those to experience those ingredients, you know, separately by themselves before you come back to the middle, right?
And I
there.
See what so, you did. You have both of those.
I have both of them. So I feel like I got Reese's Puffs and spread the good stuff across my team. I feel like I'm a little bit more evenly distributed here. I think I've got a good job.
And Kevin Malloy is like, finally, Vinny. So he's been waiting for Cocoa
You're
Puffs.
You're welcome, Kevin. Third picked. Round steal right there.
Yeah, Cocoa Puffs is a good one. I would have gone Cocoa Puffs over Pebbles.
100%.
I also would have did that. If that sorry, was Steven, no, your pick false. Is trash.
I like
no,
your
the Cocoa Pebbles is better after milk. It makes it more chocolatey because of the smaller flakes.
I disagree. I think the Cocoa Puffs, it lasts longer.
Yeah, it's balls, not little flakes.
Yeah, I think it gives you better after
milk. Kevin Malloy says the Cocoa Puffs is legit. The after milk is fire.
Yep, absolutely. I'm Cocoa Puffs. Spot. Yeah.
Nice pick.
All right, Sean, you got two.
I'm in a tough spot here because I have three that I want to go with. I have Life Cinnamon. I really like Life Cinnamon.
Cinnamon. But, how old are you?
Yeah, but let's say.
Oh, okay. You're the youngest cinnamon. Life Cinnamon. You're ripping me for having Honey Nut Cheerios, and you're over here eating Life?
Life Cinnamon. It's different.
Life Cinnamon.
All right. I'm not going Life Cinnamon now. Thank after you. This reaction.
Yeah, throw that shit in the garbage.
I'm going out of post-college. Is that what you said, Steven? Out of post-college, I'm going with another cookie cereal.
Oh, my God.
Mm. Going Oreos.
Oh, the this Oreos.
Oreos.
I had those. I remember liking those for a time, but I don't think as an adult it would have the same effect.
I have had them recently. They've recently restocked the Oreos. This was a young memory. I remember sitting at my dad's breakfast table, sun coming through. You get that nice east light, and you know you're able to just pound a bowl.
Are you in Seattle right now? Is the
Oreos? And then they bring them back and they still got it. Shout out to Oreos.
Are you
Oreos
not able to eat these if you're facing west? Is that the idea?
No, you're not. I just have a very specific memory of just being in my dad's fucking kitchen.
This is a sweet, team that you have.
It's going to get even sweeter.
I mean,
you
like,
know
this
what?
Team is like making my teeth hurt
let's give you cavities because I used to get cavities when I was a child. So my cereal choices are not going to surprise
why.
That. Also, what I've gone with is four cereals that hold up to milk. I'm not going to have any sogginess here. I eat fast enough, and if I eat any faster, I'll choke. I'm going Waffle Crisp. It's better than French Toast Crisp.
What is Waffle Crisp?
You've never had Waffle Crisp, I think, is just the post version of French Toast Crunch, but it was first, it was better, and it was so pungent-y. It smelled like syrup. It was fantastic. Hmm. And you could kind of see the texture and the denseness of that cereal. Milk didn't even stand a chance. It was fantastic. Shout out to Waffle Crisp. I'm going Cap'n Crunch and Berries, Cookie Crisp, Oreos, and Waffle Crisp is my four.
All right. Well, thank you.
No problem.
Because here's what I'm going to do. I'm not only going to pick a cereal that I enjoy, but if you've noticed, I've built a crack team of cereal mascots as well.
Oh, yes,
we've got Cap'n Crunch and this unknown sidekick of this elephant, which I'm very excited about as well. Sure. We've got the Cheerios Bee, who is, whatever. He's fine, but he's recognizable, right? Mm-hmm. And then we've got the Cocoa Puffs bird who is tremendous. I'm now going with arguably the best cereal mascot, no offense, Tony the Tiger. Toucan Sam and some Fruit Loops. Let's go that solid way. I think I've built a real, really good team that can stand up to anybody here, and I've got the mascots to prove it.
I'm not a Fruit Loop guy. I fruity cereals. It really never got it to me. Like Trix, I think, was the only fruity cereal that you could get me to go for.
I mean,
all right. Fruit Loops are pretty good.
Did you guys, Smedley is the name of the elephant. Smedley the elephant.
Terrible. Huh. All right.
Like medley, but with an S in front.
Okay.
Smedley. Herb, you're on the board.
I mean, I can go with one that people are obviously wanting here, but I will not say.
Grape nuts?
No, I will not go with grape nuts. But I'm going to go with put these in quotes, healthy cereal.
Mm, boy. That's not a good start. Not,
yeah.
All right.
You're having a good time.
Right. You're talking about the guy who just took all healthy sugar cereals.
Here we go. This is, and I guarantee people are going to be like, Herb, close it down. Frosted shredded wheats.
I knew that was the one.
Frosted shredded wheats.
That was the one I had.
Mini wheats?
Frosted mini wheats.
Mini wheats, whatever.
Mini wheats are fine, especially if they're frosted.
Yeah,
okay.
I mean, they have different flavors. They have the original ones. They have the blueberry ones. They have the strawberry ones.
Just regular frosted ones, not the strawberry.
I don't mind that one as the healthy option.
It's healthy.
I thought you were about to say Kix.
It's frosted.
And yeah, and get through your body a little bit.
I'm anti-texture there.
Bear, I was going to go with what you were talking about, Raisin Bran, but I don't know.
I like Raisin Bran.
Raisin Bran?
I like Raisin Bran.
I was going to go Raisin Bran Crunch there, but yeah. That might have to do an undrafted.
What is the Raisin Bran mascot? Come on.
It's a sun. It's literally a sun scooping
raisins. The sun with
raisins.
The scoops?
Yeah.
That guy doesn't even talk.
Yes, he does.
What's his voice? Do his voice.
That's his voice. That? It's Bob Roorman.
You want two scoops of raisins?
That was the Bob Roorman lion.
It's Bob Roorman. It's the Raisin Bran, son.
All right, Steven, what do you got? Close us out.
The fact that it made it all the way to the last pick of the draft is stunning to me. I think Herb was alluding to it just now. I'm going to go with the leprechaun himself. Lucky Charms.
Yeah.
You want to talk about good mascots? That's
He's a good mascot. Yeah. He's still no Toucan Sam, in my opinion. But
the marshmallows.
He's good.
I just don't like the marshmallows.
You don't like the marshmallows?
Nah.
The marshmallows get too much, is what I think.
Too much.
No, I mean, I think I'm not talking about, like, the ratio. I'm saying, like, if you eat Lucky Charms, like, every day, like, by the fifth day of the week, you're like, all right, I've had my fill of these marshmallows.
And I think the oat is so disgusting. Just the actual taste of the oat, I'm not a big fan of the oat.
They should do, like, a glazed. If, like, the cereal itself was glazed like some of these other cereals, Lucky Charms would be better.
My favorite Cheerio is the Frosted Cheerio. The Frosted Cheerio, I think, is the best Cheerio out there.
I mean, the Honey Nut is glazed. It's glazed with honey.
I don't taste it.
Fred said you won this thing.
Who?
Fred up there, a little up, Steven said.
Did Vinny won it?
Vinny dominated this.
Yeah, man, I got to be honest. I'm biased, but I think I did.
Fred going to dominate the league.
We'll post the full draft
on
Twitter.
Yeah, we'll have people vote.
We'll have a poll and everything. We got to finish it out, though. Steven, you already finished this out, right?
Yeah, he just took Lucky Charms.
All right, so let's take one more look at it. We'll get the poll going later.
Steven went Reese's Puff, Cocoa Pebbles, French Toast Crunch, Lucky Charms. Herb went Cinnamon Toast Crunch, Fruity Pebbles, Frosted Flakes, Frosted Mini Wheats.
Delicious.
Vinny went Cap'n Crunch Peanut Butter, Honey Nut Cheerios, Cocoa Puffs, and Fruit Loops. And I went Cap'n Crunch and Berries, Cookie Crisp, Oreos, and Waffle Crisp. Who had the worst one in your mind? Vinny, we'll go with you.
You did, Sean.
I say Sean has the worst team.
Yeah, Sean, you're
Sean
really
had
bad.
The worst one.
You guys, all right, whatever.
We're ending the show.
That's
you asked.
I did ask, and then all of you said I was wrong. And we're
just
gonna
close, really.
We're gonna sneak in here a little appearance of the son from the 80s Raisin Bran commercial and see what his voice sounds like.
You weren't wrong. You're pretty close.
If you were gonna be the son, you'd have a voice like that. I think that's what humans as a collective have agreed upon. Yes.
I don't remember being a part of that vote, but okay.
I wasn't alive in the
None
80s.
Of the monsters. No one took any monster cereals.
No, those would be undrafted free agents.
No Count Chocula. No Boo Berry.
I had
no Frankenberry.
I would have gone probably
No Fruit Brute.
I would have gone I haven't had Fruit Brute. That's the one I haven't had of the three. I think probably the best one is Boo Berry.
Boo Berry, okay.
You guys have, I mean,
I was more of a Frankenberry.
I mean, Count Chocula. Count Chocula
is tough to beat. Anyways, let's wrap this up. That's Vinny Duber. He's the CHGO White Sox beat writer. You can follow him on Twitter at Vinny Duber. Man in the Middle is Herb Lawrence. You can follow him on Twitter at Eckernwall23. I'm Sean Anderson. You can follow me on Twitter at Sean_W_Anderson. And you can also follow Steven Nicholas on Twitter, but he will not give me his Twitter handle. He was also a part of this draft. Thank you for producing this show and for participating in the draft. And we appreciate all of you guys for hanging out in the chat as well for our serial draft. We will talk to you tomorrow to preview Dylan Cease versus JP Sears at 8 o'clock here on the CHGO Sports YouTube channel. Make sure you subscribe and hit that notification bell to be aware of when we go live tomorrow. But for Vinny, Herb, and myself, we will talk to you tomorrow. Go White Sox.